Tab Talk begins in 3, 2, 1.
Kicking in, for those that don't know, this is Tab Talk, where three voices, well really two voices and one other guy from Money Twitter come together to share the tabs that are left on our internet browsers. We got legendary entrepreneur and NanoFlips creator James Camp. We have unrivaled CTO and Builders Build tagline coiner Colin Lamforce and myself at Orin Meets World. And we're here to talk about the tabs in our browsers. I'm not going to lie. All three of us have had the miso marinated black cod at Nobu tonight. So we're kicking this off on a, you know, on a high end, on a tier one restaurant, we're sitting down, coming together, you know, and from the undisclosed location in Newport Beach. Let's take it away with the first tab. What do we got?
Let's jump right in. So tab one is from me. This is Colin, global listenership.
At Lamforce.
So my first tab here is a tweet from JK Molina, one of the ringleaders of Money Twitter. And it's announcing Tweet Hunter Pro. So Tweet Hunter Pro is a SaaS that both finds outlier tweets to show you good viral tweets, and then now, as of this announcement, is writing tweets with AI. So this is important because I think this tweet right here, we're looking at it on the screen here, I think is the beginning of the end of Money Twitter. And the second signal that I'm getting here is the number of book threads that have gone viral in the last 14 days.
One of which you're responsible for?
Two of which were my own. But really, I think JK Molina is like, shouts to JK Molina. I've got nothing bad to say about you except for what I'm saying right now. I think this is the beginning of the end because Money Twitter is already so watered down and washed and cliche and platituded out. I think that the only way it could go down further is to have robots making those tweets.
Yeah, and so first I'd like to shout out the .io on the, you know what I'm saying, classic,
always,
great always.
Indian Ocean. It actually is the TDL.
Both where you hold the offshore funds and where you hold the domain name. But really, when we say this is the end of Money Twitter, what this means is that people that are just tweeting platitudes all day or tweeting like, you know, just hustle porn, I guess is the right word.
Sure.
Now that's going to be auto-generated for them. They're going to pop that into Hype Fury or whatever their schedule of choice is, Righthouse.app. And they're going to just be shooting those all, like, thousands at a time, and then Twitter's going to fold up with them. The sheep will retweet, and where are we going to land?
Yeah,
I don't know. I think that sort of as someone who's like still somewhat involved with like media buying pretty regularly, is that what we're going to see is that like maybe this temporarily destroys quote unquote Money Twitter, the platitude stuff. But inevitably, sort of the cream will rise to the top, right?
Yeah, that's for the best sandwich. It's going to make people up their content game.
Because they're going to have right. Yeah. And I think it'll probably be written by humans, if I had to guess. I don't know.
Yeah, yeah.
So are we going to see now it's going to be like 100 books about leadership? You have to read a total failure? Or is it going to be like 200 books?
Just to point the gun back at myself, if anyone is unclear, 2 weekends ago, I had two threads, one being 46 books, and the other being, I think, 23. So a combined 79, don't do math on... on there, 79 books or something you should read. Followed up
by only five of which he's probably actually read.
No,
that's the beauty of Twitter. At least 17.
I've read 12 of them.
Yeah, I was gonna say.
To be followed up by our friend Jacob Espy's tweet, which had a little bit of a clickbaity title, and then another 28 books or something ridiculous.
Sure.
Yeah. And his tweet, like I think the succession of this, like he got a lot of hate. A lot of comments went like not viral, but got hundreds of likes and retweets. Around if is there anything I could do to never see a thread like this again on my timeline? And
which means you're winning.
Which means you're winning.
You've crossed the gauntlet.
We've spoken about this before. I think that true success happens at peak cringe for a lot of people. I mean, honestly, like all jokes aside, I really am impressed with the way JK has built his brand because he built it by sort of, this is so on brand for him, right? This is like, he talks about ghostwriting tweets for people, right? So what's the next iteration is just,
robots.
Yeah. Fucking have robots
we sassed
do it,
bro. We added AI on top of the SaaS, and now the valuations are crazy.
He built he like sort of helped lead the charge on something, and is now going to burn it all to the ground, and probably like make a nice bag in the process.
I think what you said though is true that like out of the other side of this comes like good content again, which I think is where Money Twitter started.
Sure.
It's just like,
yeah, now everyone's trying to catch up. You know what I mean? And what, you know what I'm really looking for that I've been missing from Twitter is I'm trying to find tweets about how to grow my Twitter. Yeah, everyone has links to those.
Where do I have good
drop
news?
Drop them in just hit me at Orem Meets World. Just show me all the links you have how to grow your Twitter. Let them know.
Okay.
All right, what do we got next?
All right, so next on the sheet, this is a link for a company called Dutch Safari Company. And yeah, we can go to the root. You know what I'm saying? This is a company in Austin, Texas, that imports retro, like Range Rovers, G-Wagons, et cetera, from Europe. So they'll go there, they'll source the car for you, they'll do all the import-export. You pay a premium, obviously, but if you want like a 90s G-Wagon for, you know, 30 racks or, you know, kind of whatever that the right pricing is, you can get it in various states of repair or disrepair, and they're a service center for it. And I just thought this was interesting, like, you know, as if you're going to go for a flex car, but you don't want to get the new G-Wagon, you can kind of have your vintage option. And just this whole idea of how much people are just kind of trying to make our lives simple. Like, there's still a service that's doing this, but like, how long until this is just done on the internet, you know, completely? I know this ties into some Range Rover talk we were having with James earlier. So, yeah.
Well, I mean, I think it's appropriate because as internally, the three of us have been talking about me getting a car and Orange trying to get me to spend copious amounts of money on a car.
Obviously, he's a single man in L.A. This man is driving a Nissan Versa. As a rental.
Listen, yeah, hurts, saying,
he's been showing up to Boa. Yeah, Nobu Malibu turned him away. That's why we ended up in Nobu Newport Beach. And like, you know, their valet keep being like, the Nissan's outside. I don't know if we can live with that. So we're encouraging him to get the G-Wagon. But look, a vintage, if he doesn't want to blow the whole bag and get the write-off, the vintage G-Wagon's the move.
So I think this is a lot classier, first off, right? And I think that sort of...
100%.
And I think it's infinitely more of a flex, right? It's like in the same way like a crispy Bronco, right? Sort of like just shits on it all. But I think what was really interesting when you brought this up earlier is what we were talking about, which is that there's like a whole industry that's related to this that is in the
moving
US.
Vehicles between countries.
Yeah. But sort of like in an unofficial way. So if you go to Range Rover, yeah, Colin's opened up that tab from Car and Driver. So this is an article. It says, how I bought millions of dollars worth of luxury cars and got blacklisted by Jaguar, Land Rover, Mercedes, and Porsche. A single car can earn a straw buyer anywhere from $500 to $7,000 in commission. It's enough to take the kids to Disneyland, but not enough to build a career on. With that said, people do this really regularly. And so if I remember correctly, like... a Range Rover will go for something like $500,000 or $600,000 in China. And so people send in these like straw buyers, these exporters will send in fake people, pay them $5,000, they'll pay for the car to go buy a car because you have to sign an agreement when you purchase said car that promises you will not export it. I don't know, I just think it's fascinating that there's a whole industry that the same Range Rover is going for.
And just these demand for goods, like the demand for a, you know, older Range Rover here in the US is enough that you'll pay some company a $7,000, $10,000 premium for them to just take care of all the work for you. And then in China, they're the Range Rover being in so much demand and they can't get them that they actually make some money to send this all over. And like, when does like the global decentralized marketplace like kind of change that?
Cars happen. Yeah.
Or of any of these kind of things, like all of this is just money and demand moving around the world, and it's like self-generated. Like the coolness of the Range Rover, you know, coming from where it was kind of initially created, carrying over to the modern version, and then carrying all the way over to how China reflects it. And,
sure.
But they're not ordering the vintage ones yet; they want the brand new ones. And like, when's that cycle going to twist? When's it going to be hip in Shanghai to be pulling the vintage over from Europe versus the new from the U.S.? And you know, we're in this crazy cyclical.
Sure, and I think it starts showing you like, I guess China's not up on what's actually hip because as three hip guys in America. It's three hip 30-somethings. I feel like we all agree that a vintage Range Rover is cooler than a crisp.
Yeah, like, no, Range Rover's like great for the wife or the daughter. You know what I'm saying? But like, you know, like, yeah, if you want to have the real one, you need to go vintage. But
Orin's views are just that of his own.
Let me see that. You would personally drive as a man who like runs a company would drive a
sure in 2021. I think that me and my wife and daughter can all drive the exact same car.
All right, see, that's a test and you passed.
Thank you.
Yeah, all right. We're all on the same page. We're car equality.
Car equality.
Let's roll.
Real quick on this note, the bar that I DJed at in college, the guy that owned it bought an old Range Rover, and it just about put us out of business.
I was going to say, also, when you do buy it, it's like, yeah, it's a flex, but you also be able to like use tools.
Totally.
And I feel like that might not be the move for Money Twitter.
As someone who's owned an old BMW 5 Series, flex. I think I spent more money. No, not a flex. I think I spent more money fixing up that car than I spent on the car.
Yeah, but this is, and I feel like there's also this generation now that everything's been so easy that maybe they need to do that. I remember Colin and I were in Norway and we were staying with this guy. He worked at a smelting factory, and he, he would work at the smelting factory 6 months out of the year so he could be like a photo bro on Instagram the other 6 months. But he was about to do the, what was it called? But it was some basically race.
It was like from Mongol. It was through Mongol.
Yeah, it was like the Mongol Run or something like that.
Like the Gumball 3000 style.
You had to buy a car for like sub 1500. Yeah, sub 1500 euros.
Oh, sick.
And then you had to get to from this place they all start in Western Europe to Mongolia. And so and along the way you needed to like only ask for help to do repairs and like go on the other and they ended up making it.
Honestly, that's like infinitely more flex than anything we've spoken about.
Real quick, Mongol Rally. This is the greatest motoring adventure on the planet. Sick. This 10,000 miles of chaos across the mountain deserts. Step on the roads ranging from bad to not a road. And a tiny 1,000cc car you bought from a scrapyard for...
4 pounds and 60...
Yeah.
Sub-pounds? what are cents in euros?
Pence.
I speak Ruples? American.
Yeah. Yeah.
But basically like a 98 horsepower coupe.
Can I just say that for years I thought that like the epitome of what I wanted to do car wise was like Gumball Rally or like Gold Rush, right? And just get like
Baja 1000, brother.
You know, and just wrap it with the Tab Talk wrap. But I think I think that actually we could definitely get sort of that popping for 4 pounds and 60 pence. I feel like we could get that run popping right here.
Yeah, and that last tab was from our sponsor, Fox Racing. Buy the gear, live the life. All right, what's the...
James, what do you got?
All right, cool. So this next one is Wally. It's highwally.co is the website. I'm super interested in it because it is basically a subscription model. If I remember correctly, it's like $195 a year, and you get unlimited cleanings and whitening. And I just truly can't fathom how that's possible. You know, here's a custom care kit for free. You just got to pay $4.95 shipping. Sounds like some weird forced continuity rebuild where you don't even know what you're signing up for. I'm actually pumped by this. I've actually signed up for it. There's a homie on Twitter, Dennis, who owns this Shopify app. I think he's an investor in it. He posted about it. I think it's super fucking cool. I'm very interested in getting free teeth whitening unlimited for $195 a year. I just can't fathom how this works.
So it's $200 and they ship it to you. I mean, there's basically no cost of goods except for the shipping, right? Because the whatever chemicals probably isn't the right word, but whatever.
No, but listen, I'm telling you, they have it in person. So this is like your at-home kit, right? But then like I live in Manhattan. Like soft flex, but the truth is there is
where do you live?
I live on 57th Street.
Yeah, so like, where do you live? Is Hell's Kitchen a soft flex?
Well, 57th Street is like sort of like Billionaire Row, but it's cool.
Not if you're there.
All right, whatever. All right, gentlemen.
This man has 80 slots in a course that he filled. I mean, this is not right there. Yeah.
Shots fired.
Is that shot fired? Is that flex?
No. I guess.
Yeah. How much was that? How much was that course? Or how many installments?
It depends. It depends on how you want to do it.
We could back into the net worth real quick with that. No, I got the abacus.
People are gonna know. Listen, let's get back to High Wally real quick, gentlemen. So here's the thing. So they have a real location in person, like that is for the whitening. And maybe their model is they just hope that no one fucking cares.
You're just gonna come. Well, also, like once you whiten like three times, your white is, you know, like the teeth are done.
Get, right?
Yeah.
I mean, I'm down. Everyone thinks I'm joking, but when I get the real bag, when I make real money, everything's getting. And actually, your wife told me not to do it. I think the other day.
Yeah.
Or maybe you told me.
I think she told you. Yeah. She was like,
she was being nice. She was like, oh.
No, but she was like, why is he so concerned about his teeth?
Yeah, because my teeth are like sort of like B or C plus teeth. Like you would never know they're whack. Until like you opened them up, you know.
Until you lived, until you walked lived with them.
Or is that no. But my top teeth are good. It's the bottom you can't see. But sort of my hope is that when I have enough money, I'm gonna do that $30,000 like Jaws from 007. Just like take them all down to Nubs, do it all, pour some veneers.
Really?
Like over, the top.
I'm looking at you right now. Your teeth look totally fine, brother.
That's super sweet. That's super sweet. That's exactly what Marty told me too. I'm also listen. Everyone's being nice to me out here because they're trying to get me to move out here.
This is LA. You know what I'm saying? Like you good?
I guess. I mean, I feel like LA is the land of porcelain veneers.
Yeah, but for the people that need to, because they don't have another way to get there.
That's
you know what I'm
true.
Like,
but here's what we gotta do. Let's stop talking about my teeth. You know what I mean? Let's stop worrying about my porcelain veneers.
Have you been to the San Vicente bungalows in the last week?
A couple times.
Have you been to Soho Malibu in the last week?
I have.
Hey, have you been to Delilah or Boa in the last week or two? Or Laurel Hardware?
No, but I have in the past 12 months a few times.
Yeah, so I'm just saying, like, the teeth don't matter.
For sure.
Yeah, you're already in the life.
And even tonight, we had a nice fresh meal at Nobu.
Yeah, for teeth and all.
Teeth and all. Now, granted, I did have to talk to the hostess, but, like, I think he would have done just as well.
Thank you. Guys seen the before and after on Little Scrappy? Before teeth and after teeth?
No. Is it, like, grills or, like, new teeth?
Like veneers.
Let's see it. Can you load it up?
Handsome. Handsome.
I think this is a thread.
Yeah.
This is a thread. Well, I guess what's interesting to me, just to wrap up the Wally stuff real quick while Colin pulls up the before and after veneers, shout out Lil Scrappy. But the truth is, what I find really interesting about that model is, like, someone was just like, check it out, homie. No one's going to fucking show up. We just fucking open up shop. We just sell a product and hope that no one shows up for it. And we're going to just, you know, that's their business model.
It's an inspiring
business model.
I'm trying to remember what it was at the top of my head, but I was thinking about another kind of thing that was just in that zone for me, where I was like, man, I use it like twice a year, you know, and like I'm getting the money value like four, but you're still doing it. Like, I think there's a lot of businesses that are just playing on that. Like,
well, definitely the gym model for sure works that way. Like, if everyone showed up to, I mean, I'm not a Planet Fitness guy like Oren is, but if you're a Planet Fitness kind of guy like Oren, they're selling membership to 100,000.
I don't want
people
to be intimidated when I work out.
You know, but their model is for sure hoping that no one shows up to the gym, right? They definitely have like 60,000 members.
I feel like
for
with Equinox, it's almost the opposite, because I'm paying so much money that I really am going to show up. I'm just like, man, like, if that bill's hitting, like, bro, you better expect that I'm signing up for this bar class.
100%, dude.
It's an accountability thing.
All right, cool. So we've learned that High Wally could be a hustle. Maybe right. Not.
My next tab is a blog post on a weird domain called Starting a New Digital Identity. And it's basically about going anonymous online and how to do it, a little bit of why you might do it. But I thought this was particularly funny, not to just be coming out shooting shots at money Twitter, but right when I jumped into Twitter seriously 7 or 8 months ago, whenever that would have been, I was shocked to find that all of these largely guys on Twitter giving advice and talking about being men were all hiding behind cartoons
like
or fake pictures
of
themselves.
But that's like, we've all invested tens of thousands of dollars based on like what a penguin avatar
has said, but
yes, you're 100% correct.
I don't know. Anyway, I think the whole argument around being anonymous online is an interesting one. That ship sailed a long time ago for me.
Ditto.
Landforce is my real last name. I'm toast in terms of...
If you want to Google his address, just Google Colin Landforce's address.
Yeah, and you'll probably find it. But I don't know. Interesting nonetheless. Big shout out to Proton Mail. What do you guys got?
I don't know. I guess... good.
No, I was going to say, so before I just forget, is that I heard, and I'd love to find this tab, that Twitter is about to start a verification for if you have a PFP as your avatar.
You think they're actually going
to
do
that? Oh, yeah. No, it's like, it's supposedly like actual Twitter people talking about
it. I love that shit. That's so perfect, right?
It's sick. It's validating. It's such a move.
Get that mummy in there?
Yeah. This is time for our NFT show of the week. It's a recurring segment that we have on here because, look, all of us have NFTs that we really wish weren't at the floor that they're at. And that's just part of the scenario of life right now. And so James has the NFT show of the week, and it is his second mummy. Can you break it down? Or is it baby mummy?
It's a baby mummy. So a couple
like airdrop.
I got an airdrop mummy. So I bought a mummy. I minted a mummy, so to speak.
Can you give us the full name of the mummy project?
It's called the Bored Mummy Waking Up. So they were waking up. I minted a mummy. Didn't get
so
a great...
So this is a Bored Ape Yacht Club generative spinoff based on mummies.
100%. In fact, it's all those things...
What's the floor at?
The floor... Well, I don't know, because I sold my
You sold your core.
I sold my core one. But so I did get airdropped a baby mummy. That one happened. That one happens to be top 1% of rarity. So this is really, we can do a whole nother pod on liquidity, because I don't think people understand liquidity.
We'll get there. We're going to redefine all the terms used in this segment here shortly.
Slowly but surely, we'll get you guys understanding. But so I have a listed at 1 ETH. That seems to be about what the market rate is for it.
For the baby mummy,
quality I've got.
And where are you at on rarity percent on the baby mummy?
Rarity percent is top 1%.
Oh, that's
top. That's top 1%. So if anyone's interested in a JPEG cartoon of a baby mummy with a cat sitting next to it and I think a Lakers jersey on,
But I definitely have that.
But
for
basically,
you.
What we said we're going to do for this pod for the NFT show of the week is that James is going to accept the highest bid that comes on this mummy. We're going to post it online, and within a week of the posting, he'll take whatever it is. And if there's no bids on it, then he's just going to gas it to a random money Twitter wallet.
I can maybe fuck around with that. I can maybe fuck around with that. If we get enough players on this, if you guys actually play this, listen to this shit. I'll throw you guys one ETH mummy somewhere.
And so breaking it down, so I guess a couple notes for people who are first-time listeners of the podcast, which is going to be everybody listening to the podcast.
Because
this is episode one. Let's go. We understand not all of you are on Twitter, and that's all right. It's probably for the best for your mental health, but we're going to curate the best tweets and threads that we see as part of what we're doing in these tabs, and also release those to you on your other favorite mediums like LinkedIn.
And Facebook.
Clubhouse.
The business social network. All right.
But let's go back into this craziness for a second before we jump away, because I find this shit super fascinating beyond just sort of people being anonymous on Twitter. I mean, it's sort of like you start to, you know, you hear these stories like, this is super random, like RIP Pop Smoke, right? So like you have these people that are really just flexing how much money they have and not recognizing that sort of the way that
how
you can
quickly
really,
you can backtrack somebody.
Yeah.
I mean, because the whole point of this article here, you'll see when you scroll through it is impossibly ridiculously complicated to even attempt to disappear online. Right. Like we're getting to a level of like, you've got to be able to like, you've got to have committed to Git before, you know, you're buying burners or this is a 17 yeah. step process or something wallets. This is not something that like your average person or really even a significantly smart person can execute.
Sure.
I mean, and this is way deeper than like an anonymous email account, right? This is talking about what device to get.
Yeah, starting with a Proton Mail, going to Pop OS,
like,
going to a flashing tool.
Operating systems, how to then take that device and flash it so that it's completely neutral. There's nothing there. All the way, obviously, ending in Bitcoin because everything ends in Bitcoin.
Bitcoin solves this.
Yeah, absolutely. All right, what do we...
Real quick before that, I have a note on the anonymity thing on Twitter. I think is really interesting because, I saw some tweet... Just the myth of the anonymous like Bitcoin Twitter account is like so great. Like there's a tweet some guy had and it was like, bro, there's one guy on here, you know, anonymous account, real mega whale, Miami, 3-4 penthouse. Like they had to airdrop in the tub with an 80K helicopter. And they're like, that's legend, you know, like, and I'm just like, that's just, you know, all the money Twitter guys are like, bro, I could just be that anonymous account. Bro, this dolphin, you have to be the one. I'm going to have the penthouse. And
we're
going
to 10K.
Does that exist? Like, it probably does.
I'm telling you, as knowing someone who recently watched a friend like take a crane to bring their coffee table into their loft in Tribeca. That person flexed it so hard. No one is anonymously bringing the using the crane. If you're using
the
crane,
we know your Twitter. If you have a helicopter,
you're letting
in
the world
hot tub,
you fucking
we know your Twitter.
I just feel like as a Genesis token holder. I know.
All right, this is getting esoteric. Let's go.
We should hit back because before we go into this, because this is where we're starting to get into DAOs and stuff like that. Let's define some of these terms that we've talked about for people. So Colin, as having published multiple threads explaining what NFTs are, can you just give the quick breakdown for those that might not know?
Oh God, okay, non-fungible token. So the US dollar is a fungible token. Anything that is the same as another is fungible. So NFTs are non-fungible. That means unique generally living on blockchains, so on and so forth. So the popularized or currently popular version of an NFT is art that started with a bunch of weird visuals, often like moving media.
Subjective.
And then more recently has moved into these profile pic projects. So generative.
And that would
art.
Be a PFP.
Yeah.
Just so we reference
PFP,
back. All right,
right,
let's go.
The Twitter, yep. Like the mummies. I think NFTs are way more interesting than that. And I think that there's a pretty ridiculous future for them. But currently, it is JPEGs art.
And so, yeah, we're going to be starting hitting on this. A bunch of concepts that are floating around that obviously we're super deep in and we're in super early and have printed all this money off of. I'm just joking. But this next
Most
article...
Most things are a concept. Like
well,
money.
Well, yeah. So let's first start this tab off by saying money is a concept.
For sure.
Yeah.
Everything's a Ponzi.
But what we mean by that is that like in this kind of current world where it's like, oh hey, I bought this picture of a JPEG on the internet and I forgot about it for 6 months and I came back and it's worth $160,000, which is life-changing money for me and like the generations that come below me or whatever, that ends up being like that's a thing that is happening like en masse now. And then people even just, oh yeah, I bought Ethereum at $300 and again like ignored it for 2 years, now it's, you know, $3,000
I think their ICO, which we were talking about earlier, I think their ICO is like $3
the amount of life-changing money that's just floating throughout this for a particularly like tech savvy or, you know, relatively rash part of the population that kind of across the world is like makes things very hard to comprehend when you're like working a normal job or kind of saying, hey, what is my return on my Vanguard fund this year? Like, it's kind of really hard to comprehend. And so that whole idea is like, it's just kind of wrapping your head around money and what that means and how this transfers in this new economy is a probably a recurring topic you'll hear from us. But this link is from Tezos, $XTZ.
Tezos or Tezos?
Tezos? Yeah.
I've been saying Tez, but maybe it's Tez.
It's like Clavio and Clavio. You know what I'm saying?
Sure,
like,
you never know. No, it's not Nobody says that.
But this is about an app called Homebase that's on the Tezos mainnet. So on, it's also was on their roadmap, but it's now released, that allows basically anyone can create and manage a DAO. And a DAO is a decentralized autonomous organization.
Yes.
Yeah. And so, which essentially just means that you can create a organization where people are voting on its mechanics that's in a way that's secured by the blockchain, that is just kind of really fascinating for what the futures of organizations and businesses could look like if you allow for kind of this remote decentralized governance to take precedent over, you know, trusting human intuition or, hey, we're having this kind of, you know, management of funds or any kind of thing. And so people being able to create their own apps on this network, I think, shows a lot of promise for the, you know, that actual
the functional
crypto overall
future. I think of we were talking about this earlier, and really a DAO, as far as I know, which is I'm deep but not super deep. A DAO is an ICO with functionality and mechanics, right? Like it's a token that's issued. The difference between a DAO and an ICO is you're not just holding. You're able to use that to vote and help make decisions, that kind of thing. And I think, like, this is the future. Period. Like I think the future of equity in businesses, this stuff is mind-blowing.
Yeah, I mean, I agree. I think that sort of interestingly as well, this sort of brings... Well, first of all, I just want to say, everyone has Tezos but me, because for some reason my...
You only bought sushi?
I'm pretty long sushi.
James has been staking sushi. He's trying to get that X sushi. You know, he wasn't able to go in on the yield farming.
I do have X sushi, though. I just not...
Oh, you did
not
get it. I thought I wasn't farming it.
It's not farming, but I own it.
Anyway, so let's break down yield farming for the people real quick. So you're from...
So I don't know, just throwing money at stuff. No.
I went to a website, I saw a picture of a sick robot and a horse. I said, a Google.
Shout out. I mean, we were talking about this earlier. We're like, shout out to Pentoshi, the anonymous penguin on Twitter.
Oh, God.
That I get a lot of my financial advice from.
We could track Pentoshi down.
Yeah, definitely. For sure. They're talking about exposing who they are.
Probably
big celebrity. Did you see that Snoop came out as a...
I saw something about that. What was it?
I don't know. I don't know if it's real or I was getting
it's
trolled.
Supposed to be like a hint of...
Yeah, yeah.
Yeah, of all the Cameo folks were talking about it.
Uh-oh. But so no, I can't get Tezos. So, and I'm super interested in it. It's Soros is big in it, right?
You can't.
I can't buy on my Coinbase at least.
Oh, bro, yeah, you got like New York Coinbase. Yeah,
we got
Gemini
or Coinbase. Because you guys are giggling.
Genesis. I'm just saying it's a combination of both. But it's either way, like, you know, Coinbase is your main portal into the cryptocurrency world, bro. We're gonna have to like. You know.
Well, this brings up a much more interesting conversation, which is like, what is the on ramp into crypto, right? Because Coinbase is just the easiest on.
Yeah, but Gemini is just as easy as Coinbase. It's just a more common name.
There's no Gemini in New York. They don't allow it. It's illegal.
Well, that's your first problem is being a New York resident. You know what I'm saying? It's 2021.
Not for long.
That's true. Yeah. Not for long. Catch me.
I mean, Coinbase for normies, it's Coinbase.
Sure.
That's
reasonable. But I think Gemini is just a like, I don't get there's like entry level
points. It's like the Lost Twins. Yeah.
I mean, I remember buying Bitcoin and Litecoin back in the day, and that like if you remember that, you are,
you know, 2020
real one.
Back in the day, I was super early into crypto. Feb 2021.
Look, I'm never gonna not mention it on this podcast. We're gonna be talking about this every episode. I had a Litecoin mining rig in my basement. Four GPUs, a milk crate.
How'd that go?
I lined like five. Like
pretty well enough not to talk about it, right?
Look.
Well, speaking about the OPSEC stuff, cons me to anonymous. But no, honestly, so like I really don't know much about Tezos. This actually shows you how wild this crypto investing is. It's like the fact that I've tried four or five times to actually like throw significant capital into something that I don't know the difference of it between that and like Ethereum, for example.
Or Solana.
You know, or Solana, which I did buy at 50.
Which everyone had a great exit on Solana. Yeah. Shout out
Pentoshi.
Adolf Toshi. Adolf. We get our financial advice from on that.
No, but I do agree with Colin. I do think this is sort of the future, and whether it's like fully works this way or whether it's like a hybrid sort of between, you know, actually having some sort of human oversight, whether that's through greed or not, combined with sort of like conditional logic, so to speak, you know, through a DAO. Like, I'm all on board for this. In fact, we may throw together the Tab Talk DAO. We talk about a lot.
Yeah, well, we're definitely going to throw together the Tab Talk Year Farms. You know what I'm saying? We should be able to get up to...
Catch me on track.
Yeah, 900% APY.
900, that is very... Listen, if you're talking to DeFi kids, Oren, 900% is, like, super safe.
Baby,
that's like
shit.
That's like a Vanguard ETF, yeah, you know, for TradFi. Sent you guys something. We'll save
getting
it for
a higher return
time.
Of my Roth IRA than that 900, brother.
I sent you guys one. And don't show it now, because we're going to save this. We're keeping the good stuff for ourselves. I sent you guys one today. I think it was 9,000% APY. Right? And I don't even think... And by the way, I don't want to put anyone on blast. I have a friend who's an ex-investment banker, super legitimate, you know, involved with an $800 million modular building company. He sent me this. He was like, bro, like, you got to get in on this. This is hot. I keep waiting for a dip, but it just keeps ripping.
Yeah. And that's how crypto works.
Goes up. And
that's
then,
what my father-in-law was telling me. He was like, I mean, it's only going one way.
And he is sleeping with a copy of the Bitcoin Manifesto next to his bed, right? That's what I'm saying. That's
not me, my father-in-law.
Burner in the Bitcoin Manifesto. All right. So moving on to the next one. It's mine. This is James. It's a bdmarket.com.
And this is from like web one.
Unsecure website.
Is it? Oh, yeah, not secure. So if you go to it, be careful.
It ended. The trademark ended in 2014. It's 1987 to 2014, which is fire if it's still running.
That's as good as I've seen.
So
I wonder if it's been taken over by like pirates.
You know what the best part about this is? So like real quick, Money Twitter folk, everyone's like, how do I make $10,000? You find people like this that print off millions of dollars a year that have a web 1.0 website. And you pitch them on
buy,
and you do.
Like, look, for a low price of $65,000, we're gonna get you a super version of website, and you give them some Wix.
Shout out to Wix.
Shout out to Wix. Wix, they're not a sponsor of this pod. They soon will be a sponsor of this pod. They are a sponsor. Of our boy hashtag at James Camp.
Yeah, 100%. They
Wix is worth like $11 billion. Like market cap's like $11 billion. I'm in a group chat with this dude who like builds apps on Wix. Dude, and like lives and dies by it.
It's like the Shopify app store, right? Or Apple app store, right? If you can find a place to fucking list it, you they crush because that
Wix
comes to the traffic. Wix,
the website builder. If you truly can't use anything else.
So let's dive into bdmarket.com, right? So interestingly enough, right? Broker dealers for sale. Nobody sells more broker dealers. I don't think that most people understand that a broker dealer is an investment bank, right? So it's just, I think most people are blown away. I remember a couple years ago.
Take a step back. A broker-dealer is an investment bank. For the people, what does that actually mean? What is an investment bank?
So an investment bank doesn't actually hold deposits. I think they do advisory services on financial transactions, right? So they sell securities, i.e. they sell stock, bonds, to clients.
They
do
sell
capital
them,
raising.
They don't hold them.
Yeah, exactly.
So what you're saying is they can move that paper.
They can take these bank sheets. Yeah. Now, with that said, I'm sure there's different licenses within investment banks. Some do hold deposits and securities, right? So like some, like your TD Ameritrade account. Ameritrade.
I see you really trying not to get reply got on Twitter being like, yeah, when you describe investment
there's going to be some investment bankers who are like, who've fucking hate us from this, but
there is no investment bankers.
Yeah, if all the homies from Goldman start texting, like, it is what it is, you know, but whatever.
Well,
like,
well,
I told you
that's a whole other Goldman story, but anyway. So I think that, like, go to listings real quick. What's really interesting here is like you can actually buy, so obviously, there's different shells. That's a whole other.
Okay, so this is, we just went to a page it defines shells as very popular, easily transferable broker dealers where the price is fixed. Please do not ask to negotiate the price.
This is,
and then
exactly,
please note the firm's net cap is not included in the price.
So so Virgin BD broker dealer, private placements, non-traded REITs, and 25 brokers. So 5K net cap. Okay, so really this is getting super
5K net cap. Trap 5. Put the other. Yeah, everyone gets exactly what you're saying.
We're right in James' wheelhouse right now.
This is actually what we refer to as like a nickel BD, is what people will call this, right? So that's a 5K net cap, right?
Good old.
Long story short, there are different ways that you're licensed. So some investment banks are only licensed for M&A. Some are licensed for selling securities. But it's just sort of mind-blowing to me. I remember telling my friends a few years ago, I was like, I'm going to buy an investment bank. And everyone like laughed me out of the room. They just didn't understand, like, this is the type of investment bank I was looking at buying. But you can also, if you go to this website, just, you know, go click one back. There's RIAs for sale. This is one thing I think is really interesting as well. Because RIAs can come with like $100 million in AUM, you know, $200 million. Yeah, RIAs with assets. This will be crazy interesting. For $415,000, you can buy an RIA with $25 million in AUM in it.
All right, so can we click, because these all say sold and this website ended in 2014. Like, is this still live now?
You gotta hit them up. You gotta hit them up.
This is 9/24/2021.
Yeah. So I'm telling
the
you.
The new ones go out via email. Sign up for the email right now.
Yeah, and honestly, look at this form.
Before this podcast goes live,
you just need to pitch them on the website.
This is like a web up, zero form.
Really, really. And I'm telling you.
This is not a secure form, brother.
If you
bro, the internet already has my email.
For sure. That's a bad attitude. If you're brokering the sales of broker-dealers and RIAs, like, you're making good money. Right, so these guys got the money. If you're in web design, you want to pitch a client, it's probably bdmarket.com. But no, isn't it crazy? Like, so this is where AUM, I think, becomes interesting to me. For $415,000, you can buy a registered investment advisory with that manages $25 million of people's money. Now, luckily for those people, an RIA has what's called a fiduciary obligation, so they got to make sure not to scam you out of your money. Interestingly enough, brokers have no fiduciary obligation. This is why stockbrokers can call people up and sell them whatever garbage they want. But anyway, this is going to get really deep. Maybe we move on because I could just go forever into really esoteric TradFi stuff about...
And so TradFi, for those that don't... So yeah, we have TradFi, so traditional finance, and we have DeFi, decentralized finance.
Yeah. And before I said liquidity is like how much a security trades, like how much you can get in or out of something.
Look, and we know that a lot of the giga whales listening, you know, a lot of the investment bankers, all the guys from Bain, shout out Bain, you know, yeah, kisses up, let's go. And then, yeah, we know you guys understand all this, but you got to think about it. For a lot of money, Twitter, you know what I mean, they're doing their high ticket sales. You know, they're piecing through, they got the app spinning, but we wanted to make sure that we can introduce all those folks to these concepts as well. Because this is really, this podcast is about empowering other kings, queens, you know, people of all time. Democratizing modern finance. Yeah. This is the at its essence. The pitch here is the same as the pitch for crypto, is the same as the pitch for NFTs and this new generation of Web3. Yeah, I mean, it's a community. No matter who you are, where you are, community, it's about appreciating the project, about ushering in the new world.
That's it.
You know, and that's looking. That's why I got a belief for the Genesis token.
Hey, all right. I've got great news for everybody. That was actually the last tab.
Mm. Oh, yeah. All right. So what segments are we missing here? That we have? So yield farm of the hour. What yield farm?
I think we already covered that one.
There's actually some good ones on here. The yield from the hour, all I gotta say is, like, I'm obviously not deep into DeFi. I am staking some sushi for X sushi at the sushi bar.
He's staking sushi for X sushi because sushi's gonna be opening like an OpenSea competitor, and the idea is that people receive X sushi if they're holders as a percentage of every transaction.
100%.
So there's a long term play at in the said sushi bar.
You just gotta close your eyes, wait 6 to 12 years, and
yeah. Well, that's sort of the whole piece of crypto. Is like, all right, if you're day trading crypto, you're gonna get. Yeah, the rug's gonna get pulled from you. 100%. You know what I'm saying? Like, but if you are just chatting it and just going in there and holding, and like, you're gonna be all right. So I just want to make sure we're recommending those right things to all the youth out there. Don't get in there. Don't check your Coinbase every day.
Financial advice.
You know, absolutely no financial advice. This is life advice. This is advice to kings to empower other kings.
And
kings
queens.
To empower other queens. You know what I'm saying?
And
yeah, we're all royalty. Is what I'm trying to say
in
Web3.
All right. So this last segment here
is the money Twitter cancel Hunger Games.
And for episode one. We've got this dude, King David.
I mean, I don't want to throw him
King David TKA. He's probably a nice guy. His Twitter picture is fucking insane. Pardon me.
He's in a train yard.
It's called a rail yard. It's a rail yard.
Right, rail yard. But we're not yet. But we're about empowering other kings, so we're gonna keep this just straight up. Like, it's a sick train yard.
It's a weird smock turtleneck.
Absolutely. We're keeping it positive. He's got a unique fit. Some sort of Android watch. But like, it doesn't.
lanyard.
That's fine because he's living the life. He's selling these courses online.
His hair is luscious. That dude is some luscious ass.
Yeah, I mean, this looks like the dude that stormed the Capitol. He's wearing the bullhorns.
Yeah, yeah. No, he does have. Yeah, I mean, yeah. But now
he's definitely cute.
Might have been same demo.
Who wants to read the tagline on the header of the Twitter?
I know I said we were talking about the QAnon supporters storming the Capitol. I don't want to ostracize those people. I feel like that's half our audience.
This might be a good time for our sponsor. Omaha Steaks. Have you not been vaccinated? Are you not able to get into the restaurants you want because you can't afford the one BTC fee to get a fake vaccination card in New York City? You can't eat at Carbone. You can't eat at Morton's. Is there a Morton's in New York? It doesn't matter.
We don't go lower than Ruth's Chris. We got a Ruth's Chris, though, which is delicious. Shout out to Ruth's Chris.
Omaha Steaks. High quality steak delivered right to your apartment so you can enjoy it alone. All right, back to it.
All right, back to it. Yeah.
All right. The header, somebody else blamed.
I got you. Do we need to go down the...
No, let me just help you out. Right. No. His header says,
look, go ahead.
Quit porn, optimize your energy,
get the girl.
Get the girl.
And I actually like that he's chosen certain words to highlight. I like the copywriting.
Porn energy girl.
You know what I mean? The thing is, all I want to say is that, like, this dude could be doing, like, the Lord's work, right? Like, it's not something I've, like, struggled with immensely, but we all enjoy some adult content. But some people...
Not all of us, clearly.
Yeah, I was going to say, definitely not.
Oh, yeah. Sorry, not all of us anymore, right? Not King David. But no, the thing is, imagine you were, like, just riddled with a porn addiction, and this homie came to help you out. Like, definitely worth the money. Like, imagine how life-ruining a porn addiction is. Is that fair?
Like... Okay, I think we should assume that anybody helping anyone is, like, honorable. I'm really the profile picture is what I'm.
Yeah. What's the thing people always say on my Twitter? Whatever check. We're like, based on the way someone's looks, they're making a whole judgment on everything about them.
I'm not that deep into the dark corners of QAnon money. Like,
I guess that's gonna wrap up the first Tab Talk, right?
I almost feel dark about the money Twitter cancel Hunger Games.
We could cut it. We could cut it.
No. I mean. We need to let the world see, you know, this is what happens when you try to bring negative energy, you know, onto the pod.
Well,
you know?
I think he's bringing positive energy.
It's my fault.
So maybe in the future, instead of the cancel, we just highlight someone. You know, we talk about them. Same thing with the tabs. There's no judgment. This is sort of what we're interested in, what we want to see.
Yeah, well, I think, you know, think about how you felt during that segment and then debate doing maybe like a six-phase meditation or, you know, like a similar, like just going to like a straight vinyasa and just... living with the energy balance that you kind of catch within that. You know, like,
I love that.
And this is the kind of empowerment we're trying to give to the global listenership. You know?
100%. 100%. I think unless we do anything else, that's a beautiful way to end the pod.
Yeah. Any other sponsors or shows we want to shout out? Nanoflips.co?
No, not yet. Someone else owns that.
.net?
No, it's .com. I got the .com.
Okay, good there. All right.
But no shilling from me.
Well, all 80 slots are full. So it's good.
Shout out to the...
Builders.build?
Yep.
Yeah. Sign up for the email newsletter. Coming soon. It's a hot, super hot domain.
It's super. And honestly, it's a super hot domain.
Have you heard of a better domain?
Not many. Yeah. In fact, I think you fucking DM'd me or texted me. You're like, "Yo, builders.build."
Yo, what is it? Is it .build like the Botswana utilitarian international?
No, I don't know what the deal is. It was like $500.
Oh,
let's go.
Hard flex.
Dot build is only for.
Is that the flex of the pot? That's the flex of the pot.
Yeah.
Touche.
Yeah, we definitely should have a flex of the week for sure. Is that Colin dropped $500 on a domain name?
On builders.
He has to repay every 12 months.
No, I think the renewal is cheap. It's like, I don't know. Like, the weird domain extensions are getting weird. Like, they all have different. Dot inks are $4,000.
Wow. There was a wedding one. This was a really clever wedding one. I think it's Dot Wedding. I listened to a whole podcast on this, where it was like $20 to register, right? So, like, I'm not going to say either of your wives' names, right? Because I don't know how we're trying
to... You already said mine. It's fine.
I already said yours quietly. Oh, I did before.
He took note.
That's fine.
I called out his address. Like, this is fully in there, yeah.
Okay, so, you know, we'll just say James and Sarah. Let's say I'm going to meet a Sarah, right? It's James and Sarah Dot Wedding, right? It's like $100 to register it, but only for 1 year. And if you want to hold on to it, it's like $1,000 a year.
Ooh.
So that's the bag, right? So it's like, listen, if anyone can have your specific wedding domain, but if you want to hold that forever, you want that, the OG NFT domain names, you know? That is the OG NFT.
How do we get, like, arbitrership rights to a top-level domain extension? Like,
we'll do that tab next time. I've looked into it. It's like $300K.
Yeah. All right.
That's
we can build our own one. Yeah. 100%.
Yeah. Well, okay. we buy a broker dealer. we start a DAO with Tezos.
Sure.
Reggae Plus. You know what I'm saying? What do y'all think?
Reggae Plus.
And to get a top level.
We'll
do a
deep dive into Reggae Pluses next time as well. Yeah. That's an interesting job tech did that. All right. Cool.
All right. Yeah. So go to the Patreon Tab Talk on Patreon. You can get the behind the scenes access to James' dating life. We're gonna be kind of breaking it down.
Month.
Yeah. You get to vote on if you are a platinum level contributor. You get to vote on at least 3 Bumble swipes that he's gonna be able to conduct throughout the week.
And if anyone is out there works for Raya, I've been waitlisted to Raya twice now. I feel like I'm getting played.
Since we're potting in person, I think we all understand why. I'm joking. The fit's 6.5.
I'm literally wearing the same outfit as fucking Colin.
That's not a good sign.
Colin's married, and he's of
we're in the same shoes.
I'm married, and my wife hates what I wear.
Oh, great!
Right, but that was it.
TapTalk.io.
TapTalk.io. Yeah, check out the tabs on the threads at Jameson Camp.
Yep.
At
Land Force.
Let's go.
Like Air Force, but Land.
At Orin Meets World. And that's that.